Most High, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for keeping me in sound body and mind. I ask you to forgive me for all my indiscretions, all that I have done and all that I will do. I ask you to open me up, use me as your vessel, let my voice be yours. Speak your mission through me, allow the listeners to open up and receive it the way you intended. No holds barred. Use me. I look at the news and I watch other people's
names. After a while, you recognize there is this independent spirit that was cultivated maybe by accident at that time.
Exactly.
And I saw that in high school and profoundly in college. I'm looking at these older so-called grown people. You're over 18, so you're grown, whatever. Y'all don't have any freaking clue who you are.
At all.
But at 8, 9, 10, I'm cooking for myself, I'm doing for myself.
Yeah.
And nobody's around, so I gotta figure shit out.
Exactly.
I have a better understanding of me. I don't know everything, but this is my theory about how life works. How do you understand the universe? You don't start branching out, you go within. Now there's exactly. There's a level to which you can go within yourself where it becomes self-destructive. You can't go too far.
Too far.
But everything in me is a part of the universe. That is to say, the same atom that is in the stars, it's in my body. It's in my blood, it's in my bones. So there's nothing difference between me and the star. If I understand me, then I understand the star.
Exactly.
I understand me enough. I don't know your struggle, but I understand it a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
So the way you're able to deal with the techies, the way you're able to deal with the popular actors, the way you're able to navigate, we call it code switching, you're able to code switch between the brothers and the majority Everybody. Culture people. That, I saw myself, and I was a shy kid growing up as well, and I was always self-conscious about that, but what I started to realize is that in high school, I could hang with anybody.
Anybody.
And I was not confined. You mentioned that when we started talking. You don't want to be boxed in, you're never going to be boxed in, but I think all that stuff developed out of that
exactly.
understanding of who you are as a person and then being able to comfortably situate yourself into any quote-unquote box, any quote-unquote circle, any quote-unquote anything, because you have a not a profound understanding of the self, but understand yourself enough and are comfortable with that understanding to then go, you know what, I can go here, I ain't gonna lose my stuff. But I think the fear is I'm afraid to ask you or talk to you because I'm going to share something about myself that, one, I don't really understand, or I'm going to lose it because you're going to then take it and run with it and take it someplace else.
No.
But if I understand what it is, it don't really matter what you say about it to Nina or John or whoever goes and talk. It doesn't matter what you say about it. I know the truth.
You have it.
And I know what it means to me. So go on and tell whatever lie you want about me that I just told you. Because you misrepresent that.
Man.
That's your problem. That ain't mine.
No one can steal self away. No one can steal self away. And you bring on I think that's the core point. I think that's the core point. From a young age, I started to understand myself. I think part of it is because I was alone so much. I really have to internalize a lot. But we change so much as human beings. People think, well, I looked inside myself. I think I'm pretty good at understanding myself. No. You have to consistently look inside yourself as you change, because then you change as a person. And that's what my first EP is about, Diaries of a Ronin, was an internalization process. You can hear it from the start of the EP. It's 5 songs, start of the EP to the end. It's I was figuring out who myself was.
What are the titles of the songs and what are they dealing with?
The first song was called this is so bad.
Because you're a different person now, so you can't
I just put out Wanderlust. Okay, so the first song was called Trendy. The second song was called Spirited Away. The third song was called Stole My Heart. And the fourth song was called Ronin. And the fifth song was called Enemies. So, Trendy, like, I like to explore concepts in different situations. So I use relationships in this one to explore broader concepts. So internalization process each song explored the internalization process in a different realm. So Trendy was talking about a girl that's trendy, talking about a girl who has different kinds of fashion than everybody else. So that internalization process was like, I'm different from everybody else, but I don't care, I'm gonna express it, I'm trendy. Okay. Trendy can't deny. Stole My Heart, no, Spirited Away was me talking about being in, going through my mind. Mind gone, I'm in my zone, but out of body, like an out of body experience. Talking about just having a trippy moment where I'm just sitting here thinking. Sometimes I get lost in thought for like hours. I'm just sitting there thinking and just putting stuff together. So that was Spirited Away. Stole My Heart was talking about being in a relationship, internalizing that you can love two people. That was the thing. It's like you're internalizing, understanding yourself as a person. Like, oh my goodness, this person came along and also like stole my heart from this person. Okay. And I'm having this internal conflict right now. So that was that in that stage. Fourth was Ronan, and my boy Josh always did this thing. When I was talking to him and he thought I was speaking bullshit to him, like Riz, go in the mirror and tell me the same exact thing that you just told me. Tell yourself in the mirror.
Like that.
Because if you can lie to yourself in the mirror, not too many people can look in the mirror and say some bullshit to themselves, because you'll start laughing or something like that. So I wrote that song Ronan because I was talking about, it's like, mirror, mirror on the wall, please tell me what you see. Mirror, mirror on the wall, please tell me what to do with me. Do with me, 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 do with me, me. Tell me what to do with me. So basically saying, like really internalizing, like mirror, mirror on the wall, please tell me what you see. Like I'm trying to summarize myself right now in this process. Summarize what to do with from this stage in my life. And Enemies was basically speaking of the haters all around. The song was, enemies are at a gate, make us a fortress, make me a fortress, oh Lord. Let no weapon formed against us prosper. Let no weapon formed against us.
The reggae-ish?
It's kind of reggae, yeah. Okay. Our enemies are at our gate, make us a fortress, oh Lord. Our enemies are at our gate, make us a fortress, oh Lord. Oh Lord, let no weapon formed against us prosper. Let no weapon formed against us. Our enemies are at our gate because our fortress, oh Lord.
The fortress, let me hone it, let me own it. It's like when I'm in this lane, I swear I'm my only opponent. People coming at me left and right, they trying to own me. But I'm a Ronin, got no earthly master, God's my only. I look around, all I see is smiles on their face. They be with you at the finish line. But never.
People always say at workplaces, don't talk about religion, money, pot. I talk about my beliefs. And never try to convince somebody else otherwise.
Right.
If you decide to change your beliefs because of what I said, then that's on you. That's your choice. If you talk about something, I'm gonna talk about something because my sense of self is so strong that, okay, if you give me a tidbit that I haven't considered before, I might alter my thought process. It makes logical sense to me. But just because you have a belief and I might not agree with it, it's not gonna shift me at all because I'm so anchored in myself. Self cannot be stolen. So I can talk to anybody about anything. I've had talks with Muslims. I used to walk through the brickyard and people used to walk up to me and was like, do you know if you're going to heaven or not? I was like, do you know if you're going to heaven or not? And we'd sit down and have a talk and they'd get so passionate and mad. I'm like, yo, listen, I'm not doing this to shake your belief system. If that's what you want to believe, believe it. I'm telling you what I believe. And on that note, I think I can speak to anything because I'm not trying to convince you. I don't have all the answers.
The first and most important thing, the bare bones of it, is intelligence. You have it. You have an innate intelligence, but also it was nurtured. It was developed. I was intelligent when I was 9. I was intelligent when I was 14.
Yeah.
I'm going to be intelligent when I'm 46. Just the thing that I have to be intelligent about is going to change. There's no denying that.
Yeah.
Funny you say that, because I was having a conversation with somebody, and then she stopped and she said, "Are you always right? Do you think you're always right?" And she wasn't saying it to go, "You are, you know, you think you're all that." But I said, "Look, it's not my fault that I speak with passion about the things I believe
in. My convictions.
I am not trying to convince you
at all
that I'm right. I am just strong in what I believe. I don't believe I'm right. I just believe
exactly what I believe. Exactly.
And if you hear conviction, that's more a reflection of maybe your passivity in your own belief.
Exactly.
That it is me trying to say that I'm better than you.
Yeah.
But that, again, the basis of that is intelligence. The bare bones of that is intelligence. So if you're out there listening, man, you gotta know shit. You gotta read, you gotta listen, you gotta talk to people, you gotta understand, you have to open up your world so that other elements come in, and you'll be surprised when you wanna create, when you wanna express that self. You know, some people think, well, I'm just gonna keep it real, I'm just gonna keep it with just my core group of people, blah, blah, blah. No. Mm-hmm. You gotta let the world in.
Exactly.
You gotta let the world in with a caveat. You gotta let the world in to a point, because you also have to have this balance of all this information is coming in, and at some point you gotta go, okay, I'm gonna believe this much. I'm gonna go with this much.
Yeah.
And this other-ish, I'm gonna let it slide. But you have to have that sense, and absolutely. My son, it's funny, my son went to Ligon sixth grade last year.
Shout out to Little Blues.
He left. He left because it was just...
It was crazy, it was a tough middle school.
He's going to a different middle school now. And for the first time in his life, I'm gonna speak his business. The first time in his life, he was having some issues dealing with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, his mom and I are not together, but she was thinking, well, he's still adjusting to that whole separation. I'm going, no, he's not. You know what he's adjusting to? The fact that I don't know who I am in this place where majority culture is majority.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of alone in this. And you get to middle school and you start going, everybody starts to express just little by little a sense of who they are. And I think the frustration comes in when you go, okay, he's expressing him, she's expressing her. Who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? And not just, who am I as a student in this place? And for the first time, who am I as a black man in America? With all the ish that's been happening in the last year and a half,
man,
nobody at this school is really addressing that. Nobody's really addressing that to me, and those are conversations I'm gonna start having. But when did that sense of self, because you're a young black man about to be a lawyer, hopefully passing the LSAT being a lawyer, you have the freedom and understanding and the network enough to express some truth about yourself, so you're letting that anger that would have manifested physically. I'm not saying, I haven't listened to all of the SoundCloud, but I don't hear anger in the music.
Mm-mm.
What I hear is somebody who's trying to, not control, but trying to elevate the love in the world.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so, but I want to touch on that a little bit, and then get a little bit into the justice system, and then we'll see what happens. You mentioned in middle school this anger coming out. Did it have to do with the family dynamic, the fact that mom is raising you, maybe dad's not there until stepdad gets into play, because you also mentioned getting in a role with stepdad. Right. But what I also hear is that there are other surrogate fathers, your AB's dad, the guys in the neighborhood, band teacher, orchestra teacher, whoever. But at what point did that whole dynamic coming, I'm a young black man in this country?
Man, and I will say, I am afraid. I have a 9-year-old brother and a 3-year-old brother. I don't know how hard it must be for your son to be, as all the craziness is going on right now, to find some sense of self right now.
Right.
Because it's tough, and I'm saddened for children growing up in it right now. But in middle school is just general, is just a tough time for everybody. Your body's going through changes, right. Your mind's going through changes. When I went to Ligon, Chavis Heights wasn't all nice. Chavis Heights around Lincoln.
Chavis Heights is a
the neighborhood. Yeah.
Now it's kind of getting gentrified a bit.
Now it's getting gentrified.
But I still see the old tracks.
The whole downtown area is getting pushed out. You know, they're bringing in nice looking apartments, So when I was there, you walk out to go to a different class, you was in the middle of the hood, like, all the time. And so I understood that. My stepdad is white. I was 11 when they got married, so.
So were you just happy, okay, there's a man around I can talk to, or did you? No. Were you kind of just like, mom, look at you. Mom,
I was like, I don't need, there's nothing about white. I was just like, I don't need nobody to come tell me what I've been doing for myself, since that's where the independence could be bad.
Cause right.
That was just me and mom. Mom was like my sister, like my mom, she's very young. So I was just like, no, I don't know who you are. Like, don't come tell me what it is. Like, the last time, I don't know my real father, so. We don't need no real father. So I think a lot of my anger came from there. A lot of it has come from just being alone all the time, and it just built up. And I think some of it comes from genetics. My mom told me about her side, my granddad and her, and then
quick to anger.
Yeah, and they had severe anger issues. So I was dealing with that. So discovering myself as a black man, like, that happened every time. Like I said, I was an age 18 in middle school. It was predominantly white. The academic, the GT students in Lincoln, which were predominantly black. Mm. And so I had to do that code switching when I'd go hang out with my friends in the GT, but I'd be in class with the AG, and I always knew that, I always felt like I had to go harder. Because you could clearly see that I would...
When you were around the white kids, or?
Around the white kids. Okay. Well, around both, okay. Honestly. Because it's... Because the black kids know you always with the white kids all the time, so they'll try you. So you just like, all right, okay, you gotta know that you ain't gonna try me. Like, we still the same.
Right.
The white kids have to know that I deserve to be here. And it's a fight. You talk about discovering your blackness, your being a black man in America. It's a fight that you do daily. I went to NC State University. I didn't think I had to do it. I did it daily. I'd be in classes, 300 people in the class. I'm like one of two black people in the class. 7% black people when I went to state freshman year. There was 5% when I graduated.
Mm.
And it's going down, projected to go down.
So is the percentage changing because of the increase in the number of students, or kids just dropping out?
Decrease in people coming, black people coming to the school. People graduating and then not black people coming.
What's
to
the
state?
Number? When I was a freshman, they were very proud because there were 1,200 black freshmen at the university.
There's not that much anymore. I hate to break that to you.
My high school in Brooklyn, I'm not going to cut you off, but
you're good.
My school, Brooklyn Tech, was 5,000 kids. When I was in school in 1994, I would say it was about 40% black, 30% Hispanic. And this was a specialized high school. So these are AG, 5,000 AG kids.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like 77% Asian.
Times are changing, man. And
so what is changing then?
I don't have the answer, but I don't.
All right, so what is going on in education where at NC State, Division I top tier university, the percentage of black students, and the numbers are already skewed towards black women in higher education anyway. So you didn't see, I mean, did you notice in your 4 years there, just less and less and less, and the higher, what did Jay-Z say? I don't see more black the higher up I go, or something like that. The higher up you go, into those 400, 500 level classes, it was just,
I mean,
nobody?
Just even going, okay, so you heard my story coming up, I was predominantly black neighborhoods.
Okay.
You know, predominantly black people. I would see white people in school. My stepdad's white, and we have a white family, so I see them. But predominantly black. And I was like, you know, I'm well versed in interacting with different people. Going to an institution where I know there's gonna be a lot more white people, I didn't think that would be a problem for me, because I was like, even though I was predominantly black, I've seen white people. When I stepped on there freshman year, I was so shocked by how many white people were around me. I didn't know what to do with myself. Like,
but it's not like you were, I mean, you grew up
10
minutes from the university.
Yeah, but that's another thing.
It's a different world.
It's
huh?
a different, you become encompassed in, my parents, I was 20 minutes down the street, but my parents didn't see me for like weeks and months at a time because I was so engrossed in the city that is NC State. NC State is the largest physical campus in North Carolina. So it was just like I was in this world. And to speak on that, it's like I didn't see a lot of black people, and the black people that I see wasn't coming from the neighborhoods or the backgrounds I came from. So again, even though they were black, I couldn't connect with them. Like, I didn't feel
so
like
where
I
were they coming from? More country or more?
More. Some were coming from more country areas and more suburban neighborhoods, and you know, and we really didn't have that much to talk about. Surprisingly, I still was cool with them, but it's like I can't find a connection because we had that common ground. Not to knock your upbringing, just because you had better, you know, situations. My mom, I want to put this out. My mom always made sure I had everything I needed, but it was just like my surroundings, you know. So, I think because we had a sit down and talked about why are these numbers going down, all the student leaders on campus, and when I say this, no one attack me. There are HBCUs around, which is not. I love HBCUs. I love them. Love them.
Where's the but? Come on, bring it out.
But they have been marketed in a fashion to high school kids, which means that you can go here and you have a better chance of going here than applying to an NC State or a Duke or a Chapel Hill.
So don't stretch yourself.
Yeah, or they would be like, you know, they sell these crazy, scary stories of these institutions that are not historically black, saying that you're not going to have the support system. And a lot of children, a lot of kids have been making the HBCU.
Did you have the support system at NC State, you thought?
No. No, absolutely not.
So they were telling the truth?
They were telling the actual truth. But they have better resources. And I can go ahead and say that out. The resources of NC State University is ridiculous. Will I have found the same amount of resources at HBCU? I'm sorry to say, probably not. NC State has a nuclear reactor on campus. I can speak honestly right now. No, I did not have a support system. I remember in class, they were like, the number one priority of NC State is research. Teaching is secondary. Meaning a class full of people can consistently fail someone's class and they will keep that teacher as long as the teacher keeps bringing in research to the university. That's it. So in a way, you have to discipline yourself to learn the material. They tell you, go read this, you go read that. Because when they come next day on class, they're talking to you like you know the material already. That's the expectation.
They talk to you like you're supposed to be a college student.
Well, sometimes they talk to you like they're a research, that you're a colleague. I've had teachers that spoke in terms, and we were just like, yo, you ain't taught us this stuff yet. We're here, this is an intro level class, you're supposed to teach. My Japanese teacher in 101 started class speaking Japanese to us, and then she stopped and was like, this is the last time you hear me speak English to you.
Sink or swim, though. But yeah, I think you
sink or swim.
Did you say that early? You said that early. You gotta.
They weeded everybody else out, and you just were tough, and you tried, and you failed. Your grades might have been terrible, but you were
working.
That's what
mom said. Mom said, try.
Exactly. And so back to the education thing. I think this is what's going around. It's like one hand is like we're believing that we might not do as well as these institutions, so we kind of veer to the safer, more known route, the more comfortable route. And that's what we discovered. Not that we can't do it, because we can. We're just selling the message that it might be a little easier, you might be a little more comforted. I will tell you guys, not to say that HBCUs are easy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the support system is there. The black students have other black students in mass. Have other black professors in mass.
It's a comfort, not so much.
It's a comfort.
I think also in a support, for a support system to be there, you need resources. So yeah. It could be a thing where at NC State, because I was a student at NC State.
Yeah, you understand.
And I was also a worker at NC State. So I understand the support system is in place, but it's, do I feel comfortable?
Exactly.
So it's the same thing we talked about earlier. There's a kid who's mired in this depression and he doesn't want to reach out to somebody. So I don't think it's, the support system isn't there at NC State.
Yeah.
It's there. It's there. It's
just gotta go find it.
You gotta go find it, and you don't sometimes feel. Whereas
it's not evident.
A brother at an HBCU says, look, man, I felt bad. I wanted to talk to this lady over there. She's down with me. She understood. And you go, okay, maybe I go talk to her.
And it's not as evident. That's a better word.
Right.
It's not as evident at State because you're out there in the world.
Are you talking about support system for you as a human being or support system for you as a black man on this campus where I'm only 5%?
Both. And support system is like, I feel like it all goes together because it's like your whole, we started a club called the Academic Support Club basically because we felt that State, people walked around like they already had it figured out, but internally they were all struggling. Everybody was going through the same struggle. We just made our struggles apparent and say, hey, come everybody, if you have an hard time, let's sit down and do homework together and talk about, you know,
like the independent spirit, man. I hear that. In high school, it was the suit club.
Yeah, gentlemen united.
So it's that there's something to be said about that independent spirit that man, just not, I don't think enough people cultivate it.
I mean, but you can't, it's like, it frustrates me because I know we're not the first ones who, I'm not one of the only ones who think like this. I meet people who will tell me great ideas, and I'm like, bro, do it. It's the fear of failure. It's the fear of failure. You show me the most successful man, and I will show you the man who has failed the most. Failing at these big universities, and that's when we start to see there's not enough encouragement to go to these places by people that look like us. And I think that's one of the programs we were trying to implement when I graduated. And I think we're going to try to go back is figuring out how we go to these high schools. I'm supposed to go to Southeast and speak to the students and start back up that same club, actually. If you want people, I got to reach out to my counselor because he wanted me to do it. But go out there. There's not enough people that look like us that's been through it to go back to high schools and be like, hell yeah, it's tough as hell. It's hard as shit, but you can get through it. Because I did. I didn't do anything special. I almost dropped out. I remember they sent me the email. It was like, unless you take this class, do not bring your... You're taking a semester, mandatory semester off. You can't come back. I didn't have $1,000. I found $1,000. Paid for that during the summer. Worked my tail off. Got back in school junior year. And yes, it's going to suck. It's going to suck. I'm not going to sit here and sell you a dream, but when you walk across that stage with the NC State degree, no one remembers the one time I had a 0.8 GPA. I'm gonna go ahead and throw that out there.
How old are you? What year is this?
This was sophomore year. Right. Now think about
it. Man, you must have been doing a lot of music, boy.
And I wasn't even concerned with it. My mental state was so darkened.
This was cancer and mom.
Yeah, I was like, it was coming out of high school, going the freshman, sophomore year, my mind was so crazy. All the things that I saw, the things I'm going on. I deal with my Riz as a personal life and Riz in music life. I graduated with a 2.5 GPA.
It's about a C average, right?
That is not good. Like, it's not good.
It's just enough.
But I graduated. And yes, I'm going to law school, and some law schools look at your GPA.
Well, you gotta just get in.
But 100 billion people look at that degree. They're not going to see on the degree a 2.5. They're going to see that people get so caught up in the grades. Not to say grades aren't important. Part of it is saying that you can get through something,
right?
Persevere through something. That degree says you survived the NC State.
Right. And I can survive this job. I can survive this.
Exactly.
I can come in here not knowing what to do.
And figure it out.
All you got to do is train me, give me some direction, and I will figure it out. Same thing, and I think at 22, 23 years old, you recognize for the rest of your life, it ain't about did you get a 91 or 92. Did you pass?
Did you survive?
That's
did
it.
Through it.
So we talk about, and I think we probably talked more about the person. I'm glad we did.
I'm sorry.
Because it informs the music. So I think people, they're gonna go and listen to SoundCloud. They're gonna go to Twitter. They're gonna go to all that stuff, and they're gonna figure out musically who you are. But I think part of the music is also to get a sense of that. This conversation gives you a deeper sense of who you are as a person. So I'm glad we went down this road. It's a story that needs to be told. It's a story that you're intelligent enough to tell it and to highlight the things that are going on now in this particular point in social history, in American history. And I think there needs to be voices, cogent, intelligent, articulate voices like yours to be able to give voice to the voiceless. There are people like my son who are going through things that cannot be explained because they don't have the language. They have yet to learn the language. So what I'm hearing from you is, I'm a samurai. I'm a warrior.
Warrior.
This land is war. This life is war. This America is a battle that is being waged every single day. It's not being waged, specifically against me. But there are forces at play where I just want to breathe. I can't breathe. as a man, we are men from the time we get out of that womb to the time we're put back into that earth to do, live, be. You're not supposed to be if you don't want to be, if you don't have to be. Start 9 to 5 blazing for somebody else's fire. You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be blazing to light your own, because like I said earlier, when you're in that corner of the universe and your shine is so bright, so warm, the Lord, God, Jah, Jehovah, Allah, the universe itself, it somehow starts to look your way. And you, out of the 7 billion plus people that will soon be on this earth, you get a little attention. All life is me screaming out to all of you, I am here.
Exactly.
I am here. I'm gonna express it musically. I'm gonna express it by becoming the best middle manager at Home Depot, whatever it is. I am here.
Exactly.
I exist. When does that process start? The process starts with you not being afraid. And the shame is people today are stuck on their own phone, in their own laptop, in their own room. But this process that we, I think we both experienced of self-discovery and being comfortable with who you are and going in, but not going so far that you grave yourself, that you bury yourself in yourself. This process, for whatever reason, ain't happening. I thought, well, you know, I was alone for most of my youth and I kind of just figured it out. Most people don't. They don't because they don't believe in their own intelligence. They have people who tell them they're not intelligent. They're medicated out of intelligence. They're told that this medication is to help you become more intelligent, but it doesn't. And you talk about teachers at NC State being on everybody's busy. You said it yourself, everybody has an issue. You're a research professor at NC State. I got bills, I got timelines, I got deadlines. I can't do for you right now.
Yeah.
The particulars of being a young black man in this country needs special focus and attention. And
all day.
What happens, unfortunately, for kids like you, and I put myself in that when I was younger, we're intelligent people. We manage.
Yeah.
So people think, you're all right, you're getting A's and B's, there must be nothing wrong with you. But
it's a struggle.
It is a struggle just to be able to, in the midst of all this code switching and going back and forth and giving a piece of myself out to everybody without trying to upset you, because I don't want you to think I'm an angry black guy and I gotta hang on with you, but I don't want you to think I'm too white. So, and I gotta, you know, you just constantly.
It is a remarkable role that we play as black men in this country. I love my brothers. Love them, all of them. I love my sisters too. And I could say this openly. I don't think people fathom that my dad is, my stepdad, well, I call him dad, that's my dad. He's white. Oh my gosh, he understands. He's one of the rare people that really understands. He was there picking me up from Southeast Raleigh Manor High School. They pulled us over, came up to the passenger side and asked us why our relationship was. He got mad and tried to, I was like, Dad,
recently?
We're not.
Recently?
This was in high school. I said, Dad, we are not winning any civil rights cases today. Let's go ahead and get home. He got home, he was pissed. I was like, Dad, I do this every day. Went to Hendersonville with him as a family. People were saying racist things to us. He was pissed. I said, Dad, this is what I go through every day. And when I was walking, late at night, people would cross the street or go up the pathways. I know you probably, the same thing happened to you.
Walking around campus, people would speed up.
Exactly.
Speed up.
People act like these, just because we're doing well, these little things don't hurt. I can speak on them because I notice them. I just choose not to let it bother me. And after a while, I'm 22. I'm tired. I'm 22. I can't even imagine what you feel like.
Hey, man.
Being 23.
Thank you, sir.
No, but I'm saying it's like, and all the stuff that's going on, that's what put me towards law school, is because I was an activist on campus. We did a lot of different events. Eric Garner, I Can't Breathe, we did die-ins on campus, did demonstrations. Fighting, constantly fighting. As a black man, it's what it is. It's constantly fighting for acceptance by black people, by white people, fighting every single day. And in the midst of that fighting, I stopped in the middle of a rally that we were having. I just was like, I'm so exhausted. This is the third. Someone is going to die 2 weeks from now. And somebody did. And we're going to have to do this over again. I felt so discouraged as to, this is what I'm passionate about. How can I fight this when it's like throwing a pebble into an ocean of craziness? Am I going to make a difference? I'm not making a difference by doing this. And it's easy to get like that because you're just like, damn, I don't see no damn change. And I'm so pissed. This old world is cold and ugly, but we are is low and lovely. I am the most beautiful boogeyman, the most beautiful boogeyman. Let me be your favorite nightmare. Close your eyes and I'll be right there wide open. And in school, I was in this class senior year at State that we were just talking about these issues and stuff. And I'd come in every day with something that I'm constantly reading the news, constantly. They're like, Riz, you're always mad. I was like, if you're not always mad, you're not damn aware. If you're not pissed every single day, how can you be happy, Riz, like this? I was like, because I hold it back until we talk about it. You see, I'm pissed. I'm angry. The picture of Tamir Rice right next to, what's his name? Emmett Till that they were posting around the internet. Broke my heart the other day. I almost cried. It was just, this is ridiculous. And it's like, I sat there like, what can I do graduating? What can I do? I can't continuously do these events. I can do these rallies. But what can I do to make a bigger impact? And I came to the realization that we're all blessed with gifts and talents for different reasons. Now, as Black people, if we use these gifts and talents to attack the monster that is this injustice, in different ways, because it's systematic, there's different levels to it. I can attack it in two ways. I can attack it through music and law. Mm-hmm. But you might be able to attack it a different way. So I was like, I need to go into corporate law, because if I could hold people accountable, if I could hold people accountable for what they're doing it legally, that would be one small way I'm fighting this greater battle. And that's what made the decision for law school, because I was like, and that day I was like, I need to go. And because it helped, gives me more education, and the more I learn, law school prepares you for, it gives you a higher level and higher access to the information that you might not be have access to. And I learn more how I could make more of a difference. And I think my role expands once I go there. I learn what the next steps are. I get on TV every single day and I see somebody else get killed and shot up. And it's hot news for everybody now, but this has been going on for a while.
Going on for not for a while, forever.
Forever, yeah.
Been going on since we landed here.
I get pulled over on the south side of Raleigh every time I go back home. I get pulled over for ridiculous reasons. And because I know the law, I'm safe. And I get into little verbal sparring matches, which I don't recommend with it, for you guys to do with the police. But I showed them what they're doing is wrong, man. Like, you have no reason to harass me right now. Or I get followed for freaking 5 miles and close all my rear view mirror, like running all my plates or asking me for something just so they can run my ID to see if I have warrants on the south side when I'm hanging out with my friends. It's got to stop. But we, as Black people, have to realize we've been doing it. Shout out to us, by the way. We've been doing a great job fighting for it. Great job. You guys are resilient. Sisters been supporting brothers. I want to see more brothers supporting sisters, because that don't go around a lot. I need to go and speak to that. That needs to happen. But find out what your strengths are and find out the lane that might be able to attack this beast, and use that lane to attack the beast, and I think we'll be all okay.
Part about being a lawyer is also, hopefully, if you're gonna pursue the music industry, not get hoodwinked.
Exactly.
Get to read those contracts. Exactly. Read those contracts, and hopefully it doesn't take you 10, 15 years. Listen to exactly what I'm saying. It doesn't take you 10, 15 years to own your master's. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay. So, part of being a Ronin, being a masterless warrior, is very much speaks a truth to what is happening to us right now. There was a time of masters. There was a time of what I call the makers of men, Martin, Malcolm. But there was a reason for that. There was a reason for that because majority culture did not want to hear all our voices.
Exactly.
So we had to appoint a speaker. And those speakers became our leaders, became our masters. And then, well, unfortunately, you get rid of those masters, and then you have Ronan.
Ronan.
You have people wandering the earth, waiting for direction.
Mm-hmm.
The majority culture has never really had that, needed that, because the structure, as big and as pervasive as it is in place for there to be almost silent mastery.
Yeah.
You don't have to bow down to any one part of the structure of America, because different parts of it are silently directing you.
Exactly.
If you're in the know, and if you have all the means to hear and understand the language, the coded language that they're speaking all the time, you're being directed to what you want to do.
Yeah.
We've always been kept at bay, separate, on the other side of the tracks. We never heard the words.
Exactly.
We have been Ronin since we've been here. Since they freed us in 1863, we have been Ronin. We have been wandering this earth, wandering this land, wandering this beast that is America,
yeah,
to try to find traction. And at the end of the day, your only true master is yourself. You master yourself. Doesn't matter where you roam on this earth, you master yourself. You're at peace. And no matter what war, what battle is going on, I'm not saying you're gonna turn a blind eye to it and just sink deep into yourself. But you will figure out a way to attack the beast, to be a soldier in that war, because you know that when you roam, when you travel, and when you start moving with fire, with direction, with purpose, on that narrow path, that you are taking the best of yourself.
Exactly.
And so whatever is out there waiting for you, they're getting you. And it's not you that will be hurt. It's not you that will be turned. It's not you that will be affected. It will be them, because they'll have no choice.
And he just figures me out in 5 minutes, guys. Boom, that's Ronan Riz. And thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you for coming on here. We're going to do this again. This is 2016. Yeah. This is the first talk of many, because we got to maybe one day talk about your music.
Yeah, I know. And if you listen out there, like I said,
where can they go?
SoundCloud, search Ronan Riz. That's R-O-N-I-N-R-I-Z. Again, that's R-O-N-I-N-R-I-Z. And you can find me all social media using the same name, at Ronan Riz Twitter, at Ronan Riz on Instagram, at Ronan Riz on Facebook, and at RonanRiz@gmail.com if you want to email me. But Ronan Riz, Ronan Riz, Ronan Riz, check out stuff. I have more coming, lots more coming. I have videos dropping. I'm going to start doing a lot of shows. You'll start seeing my business cards everywhere.
Give us an outro.
Let me be the soundtrack you play in your car. I can be your morning, your sunshine, your stars. Let me be the one that was there from the start. I can be the one that you let in your heart. Let me be. Yeah.
Ubuntu Radio, Ronan Riz, and we're out.
Ronan.
Yeah. Trendy can't deny. Ronan Riz. She trendy, can't deny. She trendy, can't deny. She trendy, can't deny. And everybody stops and stares. She got the heels, she got the bust, got color in her hair. The boys, they try to holler, but she really doesn't care. And when she walks, you know she makes the runway disappear. They always try to copy, but she got a different swag. When she rocks her hat, she got the shoes and shirt to match. She might let you close, but she will never get attached. Focused on her money, always thinking about her cash. She's also presidential. She's trendy like Malia. She's so special. The way she carries herself, she's also presidential.
It's Jones T, aka Black God. Yeah, we doing this. Yeah, Rizzo, yeah, drop that back.
Yeah. Ronin. I am a miser at the game because I'm fortune so long. I am a miser at the game because I'm fortune so long. Just let me hone it, let me own it. It's like when I'm in this lane, I swear I'm my only opponent. People coming at me left and right, they trying to own me. But I'm a Ronin, got no earthly master, God's my only. I look around, all I see is smiles on they face. They be with you at the finish line, but never in the race. Got my hands and limit the mistakes that I make. Let me see my enemies revealed before it is too late. Yeah,
I enemies are at my gate because I'm fortune so long.